Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are diving into a week five primer. And, we're getting some changes. I'm going to be dropping a new project that I have been working on, and I'll have a little bit more info on it in the coming hours here. But I'm talking about rebuilding and sort of, going through the thought process and thinking about some of that stuff. Just some stuff I've been thinking about for a while. And I just wanted to, the idea of having like a topical AOD, AOD is supposed to be kind of, the main AOD, right? The year 2021, 2022 editions. It's supposed to be sort of overview stuff. I've always wondered what like a breakout, specifically focused, treatise is the wrong word for it, but something that's specifically topical. I always wondered what that would look like. So I've given it a shot. So we'll see how it goes. I'll have a little bit more information here coming forward, like I said, and then probably the next handful of days. But I think a lot about like this point of the season as being a turning point. And so I think you really have to evaluate if you're 3-2, sort of my general rule of thumb is positive record, positive all play, right? Top six in scoring, feeling good, right? If there's splits between those, you're not feeling so good. But I think that there's, if you are 3-2 and you're ninth in points and ninth in all play, like that's at least you sort of have a banked win of luck. And on the opposite side, I would say at least you're probably strong. If you're 2-3, but you're third in points, at least you're probably better than your record indicates, right? So those are, I think, different situational decision-making processes you have to make. The other thing too is like if you're sort of bad, right? If you're negative in the record and you're negative in the points, like we probably need to figure out a different avenue of which to compete, right? So those are the things that we're sort of looking for at this point. All right, so with that sort of in mind, week five I think is a big, it's a big time, so we do want to try and get some of these things right. I'm just going to run down injuries, and then I'm not going to go through every line in every game, but I want to look at a few because I think there's some interesting stuff here to potentially talk about and highlight a couple of scheduling things. So Teddy Bridgewater should be returning. He went DNP limited full. He's going to probably meet with a neurologist has already, by the time that you have heard this, or will on Saturday meet with a neurologist and hopefully get cleared. That is the pattern of which to get cleared by a concussion. A full practice Friday is usually a really good sign that you're progressing and you're through the steps and able to do it. So we should know relatively early because they're on the road, so they're going to have to fly. So he has probably already been cleared by the time that you've heard this, or he's not been. So I would just sort of pay attention to that Saturday. You'll probably know if he's going to play or not. Dalton back to full practice, but he's been benched for Fields. I think Dalton at this point is probably, I've got him in a safe leagues, and I don't see how he's going to survive the next, coming week or so of player movement. I'm cutting him for Geno Smith, for example. I think that's relatively obvious at this point. With the Russell Wilson injury. If I have, I think he's getting his job back outside of a Fields injury. And even if he gets his job back, there's probably more lucrative backup jobs. Like I'd almost rather have Drew Lock at this point than I would rather have Andy Dalton, because at least in like a best case scenario, Drew Lock's got some decent weapons, although everyone's hurt right now. He's got decent weapons, and I think he offers a little bit of something. Not so sure with Andy Dalton. Like I'd rather have Tyler Huntley at this point, the backup in Baltimore. Trubisky, honestly. Again, I'm not saying I would advise those in 28-man superflex, but you sort of get the idea. Like if I were to sort of go down a ranking scale, Dalton, just the upside of what he offers, plus the combination with the scheme and the combination with the talent around him, like it's just not that good. So I'm kind of out. Again, then you sort of look at, hey, is he a potential guy that's a starter next year? I don't know. Like I just sort of look at these, like, is he going to get another chance like he got this year? And he he certainly hasn't played like he deserves it. So you'd think like someone like Garoppolo maybe has got a better shot at that, for example. Or even some of the other guys like Trubisky might have a better shot at that. Like if Josh Allen were to go down and Trubisky sort of got a shot a la Geno Smith is going to get, he might show enough where he sort of warrants a bridge type role. Heck, Geno Smith could be that guy. Again, the odds would be low that that actually happens, but that's a possible range of outcomes. Sort of look at those types of cases. I'm not sure it's there for Andy Dalton. So that would be my concern and my pause that I have with him. Garoppolo's out. Trey Lance, like this could be the beginning of a transition to Trey Lance. I wouldn't trust Shanahan with his shenanigans. I have a lot of pause in terms of trusting him right now. He did say that, you know, there's a possibility that Garoppolo practices and plays this week. DMP out. So again, buyer beware on, you know, I wouldn't buy a bridge from him, cause he might try and sell you one. So we'll see there. Again, I think if Lance plays well, like that's kind of what they need to probably win a Super Bowl. I don't know. I'm not sure how far Garoppolo is going to get them. Right. The whole premise of their entire decision making process was Trey Lance elevates us in a way that Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't. This is the bring in Patrick Mahomes when you have Alex Smith, and even Alex Smith, like I'm in my this rebuilding project that I'm working on, like Alex Smith was like damn good in the process. Like they were a really good team with Alex Smith. You know, one of the top 4 or 5 teams in the league. But listen, we can't do this in this way. We need to sort of pivot, and you sort of have to admire the ability to take on risk. So the desire to take on risk, because that was a momentous and NFL changing directional decision, the ability to sort of, or the desire to actually go in and risk it the way that they did with Mahomes. So it's really interesting when you see those. I think that we're sort of probably there for San Fran. We'll see how it turns out for them. Okay. So look over at the running back position. Some injuries that we have looking forward here. Burkhead's out. I don't think anyone's playing Burkhead here would sort of be my thought. He's probably a cut outside of the deepest of deep leagues. Justin Jackson, limited practice on Wednesday. DMP, that's not good. Doubtful. Larry Roundtree, scoop up shares would be the advice play there. Maybe Josh Kelly, too, if you're sort of deeper formats. That's not a good sign in terms of that trajectory. So, again, you might watch for... By the time I release this, again, this will come out probably while you all are sleeping on Saturday, Friday into Saturday. If you hear news that Justin Jackson is going on IR, that wouldn't shock me. And if that's the case, right, like Joshua Kelly has value, like Larry Roundtree is a must add, those sorts of things. So that would sort of be the things that I would watch for. I probably wouldn't add Joshua Kelly until you hear Justin Jackson's placed on IR. And I think that's probably a reasonable possibility given the fact he's going to miss this week and hasn't practiced and is sort of sliding backwards. Mixon also, it's officially listed as questionable. It's a DMP, DMP, DMP. That almost always means out. So just, again, I would scoop up Pirine. I think Pirine could potentially be startable. You're getting a relatively, what's interesting is you're getting a high scoring, relatively close line. Green Bay is a 3-point road favorite. So again, being the home team in a game like that, you feel a little bit better than being the road team in a game like that. Because that line's going to be closer to 7 on the road. So I think you could feel okay playing P. Ryan. He's probably going to be in that running back 2 situation. I've got some spots where I'm going to spot start him. I think he's probably in that running back 2 type of conversation. And I it's probably low upside in terms of, he's probably to make a true big time massive difference. He's probably going to need to pound in a couple touchdowns. But you could definitely see double digit points and feel, you know, like that's fine. Just sort of take it and move along. I could totally see that too. And again, he could sort of kick in. He's totally fine to kick in, you know, 3-4 receptions and sort of buoy his floor. So I think he, and considering, like, let's not forget who he's replacing either. Like, Joe Mixon isn't like this bastion of, right? How much different is Samaje Perine to Joe Mixon, given what Joe Mixon has been in his career? Like, I don't think it's all that much. And so those are classic situations for me of like, hey, how do you value that, right? Why, you know, Mixon's a, you know, this week, right, at present, as I'm recording this, he's like in the 50s of start rates. Like, that's just not right. Like, that's obviously not right. It shouldn't be there. But like, why would he be, you know, in like a normal week? You know, the market just hasn't adjusted to the fact he's going to be out yet in terms of start lineups. But in a normal week, if he's going to be like a high-end running back two, right, if he's running, I don't know, running back 15 in terms of start rate, like 80%, how much different is Perine from that? Because it shouldn't be based on his profile. It just shouldn't be that big of a difference. So that's always a source of value that I find, you know, when you're sort of considering these guys, like if there's a not that big of a difference in gap, like the market treats as a huge difference. And I don't think that there is. So I think that the market probably overcorrects for the difference in running back, especially where you don't have a standout trait. I don't think Joe Mixon does at this point. So that's my pitch for Perine. Again, high total at home. So Montgomery out. This will be an interesting game with Fields starting. Be interested to sort of see how that all plays out. They're getting Vegas on the road. It's a relatively low total. So that's probably not good. Again, the question that I would have in terms of looking at, you know, how do you get a big time difference making game out of Damian Williams? You're probably not. If probably not a huge, huge difference. But again, if it's a running back two game, like you take it, and you move along, you're totally fine. Right. Could you see a scenario where he gets a couple touchdowns? Yeah. You know, can you see a scenario where he, you know, is basically a target hog because no one else on the team is particularly good? You can totally see that too. So I do think that there is some opportunity for Williams, and you can go you don't need to go much further than just looking at what running backs have done against them. And so Football Guys has this great tool. Again, it's not adjusted for strength of schedule, but you sort of get a few games in, you can sort of get an idea of who it is. Fourth most points by Vegas in terms of the running back position. It's over 100 yards rushing, you know, and then it's up, you know, it's north of 40 yards receiving on average to the running back position. So, and that's like top 10 most. So when you sort of look at it, like it's not been a particularly great scenario for their defense against running backs. You can feel okay playing Damian Williams in a situation like that. When you look at Damian Williams in terms of his start rate, by the way, I didn't mention Perine. Perine was 42. Damian Williams himself is actually 18. So significant difference there. People, the market much more likes Williams, and it probably has something to do with his receiving upside. Again, I think we could nitpick and say that, hey, I don't think that Damian Williams has been maybe the best. I think he's regressed probably as a player, and maybe that has to do something with the fact that he was off of all of last year. In terms of being an opt-out player, right? I think that's one potential thing. He's aging, right? It sort of comes along with that. But opting out, I wouldn't put it past being a significant factor in what has been, I think, some of his decline. So just sort of bear that in mind as well. I'm not sure we're getting the same guy that made a huge, huge difference down the stretch in terms of his overall production. That would be my pause. He has in the last like few games or so, he's played better. He was struggling early on in terms of his PFF grade, for example, but he has seen an uptick in that. So good news there, I guess. And maybe it's just knocking the rust off, right? That could be a trend that we see with him, and maybe, you know, even guys like Peck, Jamar Chase has grown in terms of knocking the rust off. And that could totally be like a gameplay thing. So I'm relatively optimistic, even though it's a low total. I don't know what to expect from Fields, though. That would be the concern. So I think, honestly, if you sort of look at the two, I think I feel honestly better about Pirine's situation than I necessarily do about Damian Williams. I think Damian Williams is a little bit higher variance, and maybe Pirine's a lower ceiling if that's a decision-making process that you are forced to confront in week five. Giovanni Bernard looks like he's going to actually play, which is somewhat disappointing because I was getting ready to roll out Fournette pretty heavily. They are going to be a pretty solid favorite here. They're a 10-point favorite at home. I mean, that's like dial up the band, start everybody type scenario. If Fournette's going to be boxed in, you know, hedged in a little bit on the running front, like that's somewhat disappointing. Again, he was going to be like a big DFS play recommendation for me. But with Bernard there, I'm not necessarily sure you want to cram him in just because he might not have that same level of scoring upside. He is running back 20 in terms of start rate right now, so you probably feel fine with him on a running back 2 landscape. Some other names of note here, full practices out of Dylan Eckler, no concerns there. Full practices Thursday and Friday for Jacobs, so you can sort of feel decent about that. Jacobs 17th in terms of start rate right now, so firmly in the running back 2 landscape. He, it looks like he should be back to healthy. Elijah Mitchell not listed on the report, so him versus Sermon will be an interesting watch. I mean, that might be one of the bigger battles that we see this week, will be those two guys. Some of the guys in the questionable landscape that I expect to probably play, it is Dalvin Cook going DMP limited practice. He's still battling through that high ankle sprain. I think he's going to play. I just get the impression that he's going to sort of do this DMP limited play thing here going forward. Again, it's one of those questions like, what's the purpose? You're a 10-point home favorite against Detroit. Like, what's the purpose of that? When you could say like, hey, listen, we're going to shut you down. And maybe it doesn't necessarily need to be like short-term IR. Right? That might be a little like unnecessary. But like, hey, listen, you are taking a week off and you are not just putting cleats on. And then we'll see. But our plan is to have you miss two games. Like, I don't understand what the hesitancy to do that is. I know these guys want to play. But sometimes like having some protection against yourself like makes a lot of sense. Then you look at it, it's like, all right, it's so he missed week 3, he played week 4, and now he's back in sort of the questionable range week 5 against Detroit, and then he's at Carolina, and it's a bye week. Like, I'm not advocating like, hey, just take 4 weeks off and then take the bye, but every single year we get this thing where it's like Barkley, and then it's Kamara, and like now it's Cook, and all of these guys do this thing where they're like, hey, I'm going to rush my high ankle sprain back. Like it's almost like we should sort of see this and like kind of know like, hey, listen, like let's have a little bit more caution, but they keep doing it. And, you know, I get that these guys want to play. This seems like a situation where if you're the coaching staff, you protect your asset against himself. But we'll see. So I would watch for that one. Cook's definitely one. You know, that's a great spot if Cook doesn't play, right? That is a fantastic spot if Cook doesn't play to play Madison. So Madison, in fact, should be a top. I mean, it's going to be hard to see him being anything outside of like a top. I mean, Cook is 11 right now, and you sort of go in there, and I don't see how you wouldn't start Madison ahead of someone like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, like Antonio Gibson. So you're looking at really running back 2 type landscape. a high-end running back two type landscape. So that would sort of be my position there if Madison were to play. So that's one to definitely watch for. Okay, next up here in terms of the injury stuff, we have the Chase Edmonds missing. He goes DNP limited. He's got a shoulder injury, so he's one to watch for in terms of him playing this week. Again, James Conner is a potential one injury away guy to give it a go this week. They are a home favorite by about 5 points. Again, you can see that one tipping really in their favor, given the fact that they're playing Trey Lance in his first game. So, again, if it's going to be James Conner, I've thought all along that if it's going to be James Conner, if there's a game where one of these guys gets a big crack at the entire backfield, like they could do some damage. And I think James Conner could do that. So especially from the receiving game perspective as well. I would consider those guys to be a little bit more on the uncertain aspect of it. And also uncertain, you might say, like Nyheim Hines, he goes DNP limited. He is a Monday night game, so that's one to potentially watch for. And if anyone's playing like special teams tackle, Tywan Jones, honorable obligatory mention of Tywan Jones. So I have to talk about him once a year. DNP limited. So I got my Tywan Jones talking. Okay, some other guys here that look like they're more likely to play. Antonio Gibson dealing with a shin injury. He goes limited practices the past 2 days, so he's good to go, probably. Melvin Gordon, again, probably good to go. Limited the past 2 days after DNPing early on. Lower leg injury, that's what we know. Aaron Jones, limited all week. Not listed on the injury report. He should be good to go. Zeke, limited the past 2 days after a DNP early in the week. He himself should be good to go as well. McCaffrey's logged limited practices, but is said to be doubtful this week. So it looks like it's going to be another Chuba Hubbard situation. So that's one where you could say, all right, like another spot start. It's going to be home against Carolina. They're a favorite, so we like those things. Decent line, like in the mid-40s. I think when you sort of look at guys, like he's going to be he's running back 21. Again, he's running back 21, Fournette's 20, like smash Fournette at that cost. But then you sort of look, like, who would you rather have after that? You're getting in the Mike Davis range, like Melvin Gordon. James Conner would be below that, depending on what the status of Chase Edmonds is. Chase Edmonds is right above him. I think Damian Williams, you'd rather have Damian Williams than Chuba Hubbard at this point. You know, then you look down, you're getting in the range of you know, you're basically committee guys and sort of that range. Like Alex Collins was in that range. Trey Sermon like is in the 30s as well. That sort of gives you an idea of like sort of what that range is there. So I do think you got plenty of you probably feel pretty good about starting Hubbard where he is at in terms of, you know, that start rate and the running back two to running back three landscape. Like, hey, if he's a flex play for you, that's probably you're probably doing pretty good as a home favorite. Lastly, at the position, the game is over, but I think one thing we should be looking for here over the next few days is the Carson situation. So just check and see what his injury status is and those sorts of things. Alex Collins picking up any rogue shares. Didn't have a big game, but we'll see how that ultimately unfolds, you know, here coming forward. All right, so the receiver position, some interesting stuff here. Calvin Ridley out, which is disappointing. Russell Gage out with an ankle. It looks like Calvin Ridley's is personal, so I'm not sure what the nature of that is. You know, hope everything's doing okay there. I'm not sure there's a clear answer on the depth chart for what they're going to do outside of pump the ball to Pitts, pump the ball to Cordarrelle Patterson, get Mike Davis going. That would be nice. But I don't know. I don't think there's a clear, like, hey, you got to start this guy because Calvin Ridley's out again. This is one of the problems with reserve wide receivers. You just don't know who it is. This is a classic case of that. So it would seem ideal for one of those situations if they were apparent. So be watching that. Olamide Zaccheaus, probably one of the bigger names, but I struggle to see how anyone's going to make a big consolidated difference. De'Ami Brown out, Julio out, Racy McGrath on IR. I heard someone cut Damian Williams for Racy McGrath last week, which has got to kick you right where it hurts. Sterling Shepard, Darius Slayton both out. So John Ross, reclamation tour continues. What a good matchup. Daniel Jones and John Ross. Like hit him like we're gonna hit deep shots. And that is a good call there for them. So, you know, Kadarius Toney taking a step forward. John Ross, potential candidate there, you know, Galladay. So be interested to see some of these guys with the Giants, who I've, you know, I liked Kadarius Toney from just a cost perspective in this class, and I like John Ross as a reclamation tour. Be interesting to see where, you know, what they can potentially get together in this opportunity they have with the Giants. So I'll be interested in that for sure. And then outside of that, you know, we're on the Michael Thomas watch. That's certainly something that we're definitely watching for in terms of coming forward. You know, we're into week five. It'll be week six and PUP up list here coming anytime now. So I would expect hopefully sometime around Halloween, and I'd be interested, really, really curious to see how that offense is going to change. Okay, looking at the guys that are questionable here. It's worth noting before we actually get there, I just want to sort of say who's not questionable. There's no problems with Odell Beckham Jr. Full practice all week. Full practice Thursday, Friday for A.J. Brown. That's nice. Again, he took that extra week and got the time off and getting back ready. Chase Claypool, limited, full, so ready to go. Not listed on the injury report. So that means he should be a full go. Chris Godwin, the same. Kenny Galladay as well. T. Higgins. Tyreek Hill's been a full participant. Elijah Moore, full participant. Juju Smith-Schuster, full participant with the exception of Wednesday. A couple of those didn't, you know, were limited on Wednesdays, but full the end of the week. So all those guys pretty much get to go. Hunter Renfro as well. All right, questionable people here. We've got Amari Cooper with a hamstring. So we'll watch that again. If you have something similar or close to him in start rate, you break ties against him, even though I kind of love that matchup against the Giants. And then Devontae Parker, limited so far this week. He's one that, you know, I think he could potentially be. I kind of like some of the ancillary stuff on him, but the offense is just putrid. So we'll watch for that. Curtis Samuel, DNP limited. So watch for that one too. That seems like trending on the wrong side out. So we'll see there. Cortland Sutton as a limited participant, and that popped up on Friday. So just be wary of that, because that's a late addition to the injury report. Danny Amendola, limited all week, questionable. With all of that. All right, last but not least, we have the tight end position. Rob Gronkowski out for the week. Cameron Brate could be a potential start candidate for you in a nice home favorite game. You like those for your tight ends. George Kittle, DNP out. So, listed technically as doubtful. So we'll see here. It's a calf injury. Hopefully to get him back in the coming weeks here. And back to his dominant self. Tyler Kroft, DNP across the board out. He's probably cuttable. I had a couple of rogue shares just because I was like, I like snaps. I like routes. Well, it hasn't really turned out. So he's DNP. I think he's probably a cut candidate at this point. Optimize that roster spot. Again, this is like 2% hit rate range. Like, all right, let's move 2% to 3%. Just recycle and just keep doing it over and over again. Hopefully we'll get that extra marginal improvement will sort of come to fruition, and that stuff adds up. So Tyler Kroft's one you can probably recycle out of. Albert Aquabonum, limited DNP. So he's actually out with a hamstring. So looks like he got injured in practice on Wednesday. So, he's probably not on rosters, but that's one to definitely, he's out. Jack Doyle popped up DNP, but it's non-injury on Friday. So he should be good to go with his, with his week five performance there. So no real other major stories on people out. Darren Waller, full participant all weeks. He's good to go. TJ Hockenson, DNP limited. He's listed as questionable, but that's a good pattern. David Joker is going to be on a game time decision type track with DNP limited. So watch for news in case you need him and like start two tight ends, anything like that. Feeling good for Max Williams, DNP limited. So he should be ready to go with his practice participation looking decent for the week. Okay, just look at some quick lines here. Again, it's worth noting the Jets. So you don't have the benefit of all the games being at noon or at 1 o'clock. So you don't get the benefit of that 11:30 to 1 window to make decisions on all of your early games because the Jets in Atlanta are going to play early. They will be over across the pond. They're going to play early, 9:30 Eastern time start. So you have to sort of plan for that in advance. Again, I'm not sure necessarily. You don't have any big sources of uncertainty here with injuries or anything like that. So, again, set that lineup Saturday night and give it a go. But if you're waiting on any of these sort of situations, you're not going to have them by the time you have to make the decision on Jets Atlanta. So, for example, if Mike Davis sort of factors into your decision-making process on a – you know, he's a hedge for Dalvin Cook, for example, something like that. You're not going to have that information. So just sort of bear that in mind. And I think this is a good example of going back to, you know, if we can use a lot of COVID for COVID lessons learned for team building here going forward. And it's one of those things like just bank points. Like if you can bank points when there's uncertainty, bank them. So that would be a situation where I'm just using Mike Davis as a proxy for whatever, you know, your game time limited decision might be. But Dalvin Cook, you know, Chase Edmonds, those sorts of situations, barring news overnight on Saturday and a Sunday, like those are situations where you definitely want to sort of be careful without getting stuck. Again, you're fortunate enough because some of those situations are early Sunday in terms of like your 1 o'clock windows, but you have to be careful, you know, if you're depending on something at 4:30 to be active or 4:05, you know, and they're not when you could have started, you know, Mike Davis or Corey Davis or, you know, someone like that early on. Like that's one where you can be that's when you can kick yourself just leaving a little marginal gain there on the table. Okay, the Bills and the Chiefs are playing on Sunday night. No major injuries there, so you don't have to necessarily worry quite so much about like, hey, you know, what lineup rosters or anything should we be setting. Your decision on Chase Edmonds will be in the late window, so I think we'll probably know that one early enough, like in the day would sort of be my, I'm guessing we'll get like Schefter Rappaport clearance on that. So that's definitely one to watch for. Some of the big numbers of the week, Buffalo at Kansas City. Kansas City, basically a 3-point home favorite, total of 56.5, 57, depending where you're looking. That is the biggest number on the week by close to a touchdown. So that's a massive, massive game. A couple other of the notable lines. The Patriots are a 8-point road favorite in a team in a total game situation of 39.5. That's just an outrageously lopsided number there. Other big home favorites in terms of running backs. So your home favorites are, and home favorites, running backs are good places to go. And also tight ends usually have a little bit of juice there in the home favorite category. So Tampa, again, maybe that's Brate, Fournette, watch. We'll see what the role for Geo is. That's going to be a key concern there. You know, fighting it out with Fournette. Carolina, home favorite. Minnesota, big home favorite again. If for some reason Dalvin Cook can't play, that's a Madison smash fest. And then you've got Vegas as a home favorite. So Jacobs, fire up Jacobs this week. You feel good about that. And then the Chargers, home favorite. So again, I think Eckler is pretty interesting in that one. Dallas is a 7-point home favorite with a big line, so that's a Zeke game for sure. Pollard probably feels pretty good in lineups as well. Arizona, I think I mentioned them again. It's Chase Edmonds or it's James Conner. Like, I think it's, if Edmonds were out, James Conner's a smash play in my opinion, but I don't think he's probably getting near lineups in the event Edmonds plays. Last but not least, Monday night, and this is a Indianapolis versus Baltimore 7-point, 6.5, 46 over under. Those games there for Indy at Baltimore, at being Baltimore a 7-point home favorite. So the number is, you know, it's about middle of the pack in terms of over unders for the week. But I think you feel pretty good about playing. You know, feel pretty good about playing Lamar, the run game at home. I think Latavius is probably going to be your starter. The only thing I would sort of give you a little bit of pause about, again, I sort of like the spot, generally speaking, for Latavius. But what I would say is, again, he's running back 34 in terms of start rate at present. The one thing I would say is if you're wrong for some reason, and I don't have any specific reason to think that other than the fact that Tyson Williams was a healthy scratch and it made zero sense last week, if you're for some reason wrong on Latavius Murray and there's some shenanigans going on there, yeah, be careful about that. So that would just be the one place that I'd have a little pause about running out Latavius Murray, but otherwise I think that's a pretty smash spot for him. All right, that's going to do it for this edition. Again, I didn't want to go through every line, every, you know, all the start rate stuff. You guys can find that on the website. But I did want to hit some, like, a little bit bigger picture stuff for this episode here. So that'll do it for this edition. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.